Good afternoon. 4:30 and 86 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
Most of the heroin abuse we see starts from prescription drug abuse. It's totally legal. It can literally be for a legitimate pain problem.
U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch holds a town hall meeting on heroin abuse in Richmond today.
Rowan County is being sued over last year's same-sex marriage battle.
And advocates say there's a critical shortage of affordable housing in Kentucky.
In sports, the Reds try to square their series with the Cubs in Chicago tonight.
But Luke has the stocks.
Clear tonight with patchy fog towards dawn and lows in the 60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
Two people are hospitalized following a collision between an SUV and a tractor mowing grass along I-64 in Carter County. The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet says the accident happened around 8:30 this morning near the 166-mile marker and forced the closure of the eastbound lanes for about 4 hours. They've since reopened. No information is available at this time on the extent of those injuries.
U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch told an audience in Richmond today she wants to hear Kentuckians' ideas on dealing with the drug crisis. Lynch held a town hall meeting at Madison Central High School. She says her trip to Kentucky is part of the Obama administration's efforts to raise awareness about the rising number of drug overdoses, particularly from heroin.
This abuse, this issue, takes such a toll on lives. And so what we're talking about this week is how do we stop it? How do we prevent it from even starting? I want to hear your ideas about how we can solve this, how we can prevent this. It's not just putting people in jail, it's also stopping it before it happens. It's making sure that people who do have a problem get treatment.
During her visit to the Commonwealth, Lynch will be meeting with parents who've lost children to heroin abuse.
A string of overdose deaths in Boyle County is behind a push for a needle exchange program in that community. Brent Blevins is the county's public health director.
Trying to give people the opportunity to bring in used needles and get clean needles from a public health standpoint. We're trying to reduce the incidence of hepatitis C and HIV exposure.
Blevins says five people overdosed on fentanyl-laced heroin in Boyle County last month. He says he'll recommend the needle exchange to the fiscal court and Danville City Commission next week.
Rowan County Jailer Wes Coldiron says the best way to prevent drug abuse is through education. He says once someone becomes an addict, the cycle of dependency is extremely difficult to break. The current heroin scourge, he explains, is a case in point. Coldiron says it's far better to persuade youngsters to stay off drugs than it is to treat them after they get hooked.
This drug has such a powerful effect on their mind that when they're using, they're not themselves, and they'll do anything to get a high. And I think that's what people need to understand is they're not bad people, but it's a disease. It's ripping families apart, people dying. You know, we have to reach out in a different way to touch kids.
Coldiron says the rash of drug addictions now plaguing Kentucky won't be solved by arresting users.
The senior judge in Kentucky's 21st Circuit says drug diversion programs work, and they can give younger people a second chance. Beth Mays's district includes Rowan, Bath, Menifee, and Montgomery counties. Critics sometimes claim that treatment and rehabilitation programs amount to little more than a slap on the wrist for drug crimes. However, Mays says they can make a big difference in a person's future.
So many times you have young people who get in trouble and eventually they get it. After they go to rehab and they decide they want to turn their life around, they're not tagged with a felony for the rest of their life, because being tagged with a felony can inhibit the ability to get a job. They can't get a job. They might not be able to get grants or aid for school. It lets them move on with their life.
Judge Mays is quick to point out that not all drug offenders are eligible for diversion programs. For those who are, she says, they provide hope and keep some of them from spiraling even further downward.
The cultivation and use of marijuana in Kentucky is illegal, and the state's agriculture commissioner expects it to stay that way for some time to come. Even though Ryan Quarles' department is asking the federal government for more freedom to research growing industrial hemp in the Commonwealth, he doesn't have any interest in doing the same thing with its hallucinogenic cousin, marijuana. Quarles says most studies that show that hemp suffers when it's commingled in the field with pot.
We believe that's right, and the best thing to do is to continue the research, work with law enforcement, work with our higher education institutions, and work with our farmers to try to make sure we can identify potential issues before the crop is hopefully commercialized at the federal level.
Three states, Alaska, Oregon, and Colorado, have legalized the recreational use of marijuana. Quarles believes the potential is there for industrial hemp to be a significant cash crop for Kentucky farmers.
The American Civil Liberties Union is seeking more than $230,000in damages from Rowan County as the result of last year's same-sex marriage battle. Here's Haley Hansen.
The ACLU says the lawyers are looking for $233,000 in legal fees and costs. Two gay couples and two straight couples sued in 2015 after Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis refused to issue them marriage licenses just days after the U.S. Supreme Court ruled same-sex couples could marry. Davis was jailed for several days after refusing to comply, but the state eventually changed marriage license forms so that the clerk's names did not have to appear and the case was dismissed. I'm Haley Hansen.
Rowan officials are looking over a lawsuit filed by the ACLU of Kentucky against the county that seeks payment of $233,000 in legal fees and costs. The agency sued Clerk Kim Davis last year on behalf of four couples after she refused to issue marriage licenses following the U.S. Supreme Court's legalization of gay marriage. A federal judge later dismissed the case after the state removed the names of county clerks from marriage license forms. Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins doesn't think the ACLU's suit against the county has merit. He notes that since Davis is an elected official, he didn't have the authority to force her to issue the marriage licenses.
I have no jurisdiction over her other than just give her a budget to work with, and we approve her budget that she works with. We receive excess fees from her. But as far as us being a player in this lawsuit, I don't think we are. Hopefully we'll be moved off that docket as well. I just don't think we should even be considered in the lawsuit.
Blevins expects Rowan attorney Cecil Watkins to request that the ACLU suit against the county be dismissed.
Some Montgomery County residents are suing a wood treatment company that once operated the site where the state recently detected higher than normal arsenic levels. The Lexington Herald Leader reports Mary and John Sparks and Cole Cadell filed the civil lawsuit against Southern Wood Treatment Company, among others, on Monday. The lawsuit says the defendants used products containing arsenic as a wood preservative in treating lumber and contaminated the area by failing to properly dispose of leftover materials when the site closed.
Advocates for safe, decent, and lower-cost housing say there's a critical need for much more of it in Kentucky. The Kentucky Affordable Housing Coalition is asking the state legislature to approve tax credits to encourage developers to build more units of that type and repair older subsidized stock. Luis Diaz is president of the coalition. He says many of Kentucky's current affordable housing units are more than 30 years old and not in very good shape.
There's roughly 49,380 units that are at risk between now and 2020. This consists of project-based Section 8 housing. This is 24,000 units that are serving, quite frankly, the poorest of the poor, people that have direct rental subsidy from the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Diaz is backing a bill sponsored by Democratic State Representative James Kay that would generate nearly $100 million in tax credits over a 10-year period. The money could be used for new affordable housing construction and rehabilitation.
Meeting the demand for additional, more affordable housing in Kentucky's rural communities is especially challenging, so says the head of a Litchfield-based firm that specializes in those types of projects. Gary Watkins is president of Wabuck Development Company. He says Kentucky has an abundance of seniors who live in rural areas, and they're finding it increasingly difficult to pay their bills.
In many cases, they're paying rent that is nearly half or more of their overall income. Many of them are making decisions to cut back on their medications in order that they can pay their rent and in order that they can pay their utilities. And it's amazing to me just to see how that they're able to exist on the income that they have.
Watkins says many of Kentucky's senior citizens have nothing but their Social Security checks on which to live, and it's not enough.
Carter County State Representative Jill York says she's been told by local officials in her district that cell phone calls to 911 centers are not being answered in a timely way. The Grayson Republican relayed her concerns Monday to Kentucky AT&T President Hood Harris during a hearing in Frankfort.
A citizen is driving along, sees a pretty good brawl going on a street in a location, reaches for their cell phone, dials 911. Cell phone rings 6, 7, 8 times. Sounds like nobody's on the other end. They hang up. They do this multiple times.
York says most people today don't expect a response after the third ring. She says if there's going to be a lengthy time lag before 911 calls from cell phones are picked up, people need to be informed. The AT&T official says he'll investigate the delay and find out why it's happening.
AT&T Kentucky President Hood Harris is telling state lawmakers the telecommunications deregulation bill they approved in 2015 is working as advertised. Harris testified Monday before the Kentucky Legislature's Interim Joint Committee on Appropriations and Revenue. By the end of this year, he says, AT&T will have expanded its fiber optic network to provide more Kentuckians access to the latest wireless services through the construction of 32 new cell towers. Harris says three of those towers are along the Mountain Parkway. In addition, he notes major improvements have been made to internet access in every Kentucky school district.
We coordinated with other communications providers, the Kentucky Department of Education, and every school district across the state to extend fiber-based high-speed internet to all 173 school districts in Kentucky. This helped establish connectivity speeds that allowed Kentucky to be the first state to meet a national benchmark set in 2012, and demonstrates that there is, in fact, fiber optic infrastructure in every county in the Commonwealth.
Harris says the flexibility the deregulation bill has given his company is allowing AT&T to make the investments it needs in emerging technologies.
Morehead's top official says local residents have generally favored the changes made to Main Street's downtown. The tree islands that created the street's zigzag pattern have been removed to straighten it, and parking on Main has been changed from angled to parallel, which has actually created more parking spaces in that part of town. While he's done no official polling on the matter, Mayor Jim Tom Trent estimates that 90% of the people he's talked to like what's been done on Main Street.
And once I talk to the 10% who may be not in favor of it and explain to them that our goal is to replace the trees eventually in large pots, and put possibly flowers on the poles once we get the right ones to add that back in, then most of that 10% seems to be satisfied.
Trent says the changes made to the street have cost the city very little, and in fact, the city received a $5,000 grant for painting it.
And finally this afternoon, authorities in Maysville are warning residents of a couple of phone scams. In the first one, City Police Chief Ron Rice says people are being told they have to pay the federal government for some back taxes.
One of the more prevalent scams here in the Maysville-Mason County area right now is this IRS, or the Internal Revenue Service scam. And that's when someone calls your phone and claims to be an investigator with the Internal Revenue Service and that you owe them an amount of money. And if that money is not paid, you don't make arrangements to pay that money at that time over the phone, then a warrant for your arrest will be issued.
Rice says the other scam targets seniors who are contacted by con artists who pose as their grandchildren and ask for money. Rice says if you receive a call like that, don't give out any personal information, hang up, and call the police.
Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region. Tonight, clear skies and patchy dense valley fog developing near dawn. We'll see lows around 60 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be warm and sunny, highs up around 88. Tomorrow night clear with lows in the lower 60s. Thursday, it'll be sunny again, highs in the upper 80s. That night, mostly clear, lows around 62. And on Friday, at the end of the work week, it'll be sunny with highs around 87 degrees. It's currently sitting right at 87 in Ashland. It's 85 right now in Flemingsburg, 84 in Inez, 87 in Lexington, 88 in Winchester, and 86 degrees here in Moorhead.
4:45, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. It is good to have your company on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, a national expert in holistic health and diversity says if Kentucky leaders work on improving inequities, including income and access to care, the health of the state's population will improve. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre has the story.
Become more motivated to improve the environments in which people live, and Kentuckians' health will improve. That's the message a national leader in holistic health and diversity delivered to community and health leaders from across the state. Dr. Gail Christopher was keynote speaker yesterday at the annual Health Policy Forum in Lexington, which this year focused on health as an economic driver.
It's not health care or social determinants. It is really creating healthy environments in which people can live.
Christopher, who is with the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, acknowledges that food choices are part of being healthy. So is access to quality health care, transportation, and housing. But she says the unifying factor is exposure to adversity and to stress. Christopher says policymakers need to, in her words, put people first, for real, not just rhetoric.
I think every public official, every policy wonk, should be saying, if I'm going to deal with health, I've got to deal with income and assets and the capacity to live well, well enough not to be in a state of chronic stress that's associated with fear.
She links many of Kentucky's health problems, heart disease, diabetes, and obesity, to name a few, to the racial, ethnic, and income inequities that exist.
You're really looking at the symptoms of a social structure that is inequitable and unfair in terms of a distribution of resources or even access to resources and opportunity.
That's why Christopher says the conversation about improving Kentucky's health has to focus on so much more than just health care. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:48, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Moorhead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports right after we take this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowland County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, open 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays and near the Moorhead City Park. The Rowland County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud with homegrown fruits and vegetables and assorted canned and baked goods. Farmers Market Nutrition Program, WIC, and senior checks accepted. More information at 784-5457. The Rowland County Farmers Market is a certified Kentucky Proud Market.
Good afternoon for Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Losers of five of their last six, the Cincinnati Reds will look to avenge last night's 5-2 loss in Chicago as they visit the Cubs again tonight. One of the positives in last night's defeat for the Reds was the effort of rookie starting pitcher Tim Adelman, who went 6 1/3 innings before allowing solo homers to Addison Russell and Wilson Contreras. Manager Brian Price likes the way the right-hander attacked the Cubs' potent lineup.
It's a team that's running away with the division. It's a team that certainly is going to be a favorite to win the National League. And he just pounded the strike zone. And I admire people that will challenge the best players, the best teams in the zone with good stuff. And he did that. He wasn't cautious. He challenged, and I'm very impressed by that.
First pitch tonight at Wrigley Field will come at 8:05. Fall practices for the Moorhead State softball team are rolling into their second week. Moving forward, Coach David Williams is looking right now to put all of the pieces on his team in the right place.
Get new players acclimated, get them to our system, you know, kind of having the returners mesh with the new players, figure out how we're going to play and figure out what combinations we're going to work. But really right now we're just trying to get back into the swing of things and just figure out what combinations we have.
The Eagle softball team will be out next spring to improve on last season's 26-27 record. As the Eagles prepare to open PFL play, the defense for the Morehead State football team is looking good. Since MSU's 80-7 blowout loss to number 11 James Madison in the season opener, the Eagles have allowed a total of 23 points to their last two opponents, VMI and Lincoln. While that's a strong indicator of how much better his group has gotten, junior defensive end Cope Briggs says there's still plenty of room for improvement.
A lot of it is our attitude coming into the game. I feel like we have about 50% of our guys are very intense, and the rest of us are coming along. You know, it's a growing process. We've got kind of a younger team, and it's learning. So I feel like we just have to get better at, you know, knowing our responsibilities and everything. But that's, you know, that's week to week. That's what happens. We're only week three into a football season. It's a long season.
The 1-2 MSU football team starts PFL action this Saturday with the contest at Drake. Kentucky could be without starting quarterback Drew Barker when the Wildcats face South Carolina this weekend. Barker left the win over New Mexico State last Saturday early in the first quarter with a back injury. Coach Mark Stoops says it is a wait-and-see situation for the sophomore QB.
Consult with our doctors and some specialists, and we'll get to the bottom of it and see what's best for him.
If Barker cannot play Saturday, UK will turn to backup Steven Johnson, who came off the bench to pass for over 300 yards and three touchdowns against New Mexico State. The Round County football team is now 0-5 on the year after falling to Grant County last weekend 20-0. The Vikings have now been outscored 156-30 on the year, but head coach Gene Peterson says his players are not giving up on the season.
You know, we're seeing progress every week. We, you know, our kids are really working hard, and they're buying into what we're doing. And it, you know, things are coming, and, you know, we're just trying to, you know, piece some things together, you know, week by week.
Round will visit Ashland Friday night to take on the 2-2 Tomcats. Some notes from around the NBA. The Milwaukee Bucks have agreed to a contract extension with small forward Giannis Antetokounmpo for 4 years, $100 million. Cleveland Cavaliers shooting guard J.R. Smith plans to skip the team's training camp this week as he and the team continue to work on reaching an agreement on a contract. And according to ESPN, Hall of Fame head coach Larry Brown is considering accepting a head coaching position at East Hampton High School in Long Island, New York. The 76-year-old Brown resigned from the head coaching position at Southern Methodist University earlier this year. The Morehead State soccer team is preparing for the first for its first game of conference play when they take on Austin Peay at Jane Stadium on Thursday. Head coach Warren Lipka says his 3-5-1 Eagles need to be prepared for the grind of the conference season.
It's the start of conference season now. We're into our second part of the season. You know, I'm hoping that you know, we're prepared physically and mentally for conference season because this is the tough go of the year.
Austin Peay checks into Jane Stadium with a 5-4 record. And finally in sports, the Round County girls soccer team is at home tonight to face Montgomery County. Coach Alan Evans expects the 6-4 Lady Vikings to have their hands full with the Lady Indians.
Yeah, they're going to be a really strong program. They always are. And so working outside of our region, we look to try those new strategies. And if it works against Montgomery County, hopefully it works against Ashland and Russell.
Montgomery County is 8-6 this season and is scoring an average of over 4 goals a game. That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Eagle Soccer opens their OVC schedule on Thursday by hosting Austin Peay at MSU's Jane Stadium. Game time is 7 p.m. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed higher on the heels of disappointing housing data, while investors awaited the latest monetary policy decisions from the Federal Reserve and the Bank of Japan. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did manage a modest gain of 9.79 at 18,129.96. The S&P 500 was up 0.64 at 2139.76, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 6.33 at 5241.35. New York Stock Exchange breadth was actually 16 to 13 in favor of losing stocks over winners, so the broader market not as strong as the major averages. In economic news, housing starts in the U.S. came in at an annualized rate of 1.14 million in August, well below the expected 1.19 million. Construction permits fell 0.4%. And, of course, housing starts and permits were two of the last data sets released as the Fed began its two-day policy meeting today. Market expectations that the Fed will raise interest rates this month were low, although certainly market watchers are going to be paying close attention to the comments that the Fed makes at the conclusion of the meeting tomorrow in terms of future movement of interest rates. U.S. crude oil briefly fell more than 1% after comments from Venezuela indicated the oil market is still oversupplied by 10%. WTI erased losses to settle about 0.3% higher at $43.44 a barrel on news that the Colonial Pipeline in Alabama would reopen on Wednesday. Overseas European equities closed lower in choppy trading as investors eyed the Fed and BOJ meetings. The Stock 600 index slipped about 0.08%. In Asia, stocks closed mixed. In gold futures for December delivery, settled 40 cents lower at $1,318.20 an ounce. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were McDonald's and Merck. Your worst performers were ExxonMobil and DuPont. In the S&P 500, your best performers were Royal Caribbean and Gilead Sciences, and your worst performers were United Rentals and Tegna. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 74 cents at 123.07, CSX down 17 cents at 29.10, AEP down 42 cents at 65, Marathon Petroleum down $1.18 at 42.55, AK Steel down a penny at 4.30, and U.S. Bancorp was up 16 cents to finish at 43.02. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Line.
Support for programming on MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg, presenting a concert with Railroad Earth with special guest Gypsy Moon, 7:30 p.m. on Friday, September 23rd, an evening of Americana Mountain Jam music with Railroad Earth on Friday, September 23rd at the Mountain Arts Center. Tickets and more information at 606-886-7000.